There's only one razor.
Wee Belfast accent, no?
Ah, very good.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. This is episode 54 and we are very happy to welcome a special guest. Hello, Marie.
Hello.
Hello, Reza.
Hi, Craig.
So if you are listening for the first time, we would like to say that Aprender Inglés with Reza y Craig y Marie is a podcast that will help you improve your English and take it to the next level. The three of us are going to help you understand phrasal verbs this episode, aren't we, Reza?
Oh, yes, we certainly are.
I'm going to try.
Before we start with Reza, I'd like to remind you that we spoke about phrasal verbs from episodes 3 to 23. So if you go to inglespodcast.com/3 to 23, so that's /3/4/5, etc., you will find lots of help with phrasal verbs and also the meanings of up. Do you remember, Reza, we spoke about different meanings of up with phrasal verbs? That was in inglespodcast.com/52.
Yeah, I remember, but I've forgotten a few. I would need to brush up on that.
So if you want to brush up, frescar, go back to episode 52 and you'll find different meanings of the particle up. So what have we got this episode, Reza?
Well, Craig, now, let's be honest. You've put up with a lot of ridicule from me about your love of Mickey Mouse.
What's ridicule?
Ridicule, mockery, making fun of you. Your love of Mickey Mouse, you've put up with it.
I have put up with it.
Yeah. Are you fed up yet?
No, because I quite enjoy you making fun of me.
Are you happy to carry on listening to my ridicule of your love of Mickey Mouse?
Yes, I'll carry on listening to you ridiculing me about Mickey Mouse.
If I go on making fun of your love of him, will you give up the podcast?
Will I give up the podcast? Yeah. I don't think so, no. Yeah.
Because I think we get along well. I hope I don't piss you off with my mockery of Mickey Mouse.
You can't say piss.
Oh, can't
it's
I?
It's family friendly.
Isn't it a phrasal verb?
It's a phrasal verb, but I have to...
We'll edit that out.
We'll take that out in post.
Okay, a quick improvisation. I hope I don't rub you up the wrong way.
So do I. That would be horrible.
Okay, because... Can you imagine if we fell out because of my mockery of your love of Mickey Mouse?
I don't think we'll fall out over Mickey Mouse.
But just imagine... Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig was taken off from internet. Me and many listeners, we just couldn't get through our daily lives, Craig. We needed... We'd fall apart. We'd crack up without Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig. What about all those listeners out there who are turned on by our sexy voices, Craig? What would they do? Where would they turn to for audio stimulation?
Marie, can you notice a theme developing here?
I have been listening closely to Reza, and he has dropped quite a few phrasal verbs into his little, would you call it a monologue?
Yes. How many phrasal verbs do you think you used there?
Oh, well, so far about 15 or so.
Okay. Are you going to explain them later?
Oh, yes, I will.
Maybe we should begin with describing... phrasal verbs. What are they, and why we need them? Do you think there's a group of people in Oxford or Cambridge, a group of professors that are meeting regularly and thinking how they can make English more difficult for learners to understand?
The phrasal verb
is
factory.
Is that why we have phrasal verbs?
And I want to join that group, but I can't get into it.
They're a nightmare for students, I think. I agree.
Why do we need them, Marie? What's the purpose of phrasal verbs?
Well, I think the most important thing for students to know, or learners of English, is that they're used everywhere informally. They're all over the language informally. So if you want to understand your colleagues in another country or listen into friends, for example, on TV, you need to have phrasal verbs because they're everywhere informally.
Do you think they're used more in spoken English than written English?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree, Reza.
Yeah, and generally more informal. I think it really marks someone out as a native speaker when they use phrasal verbs well. Someone can speak very good English without mistakes and with even really good pronunciation, but if they never use phrasal verbs, there's something suspicious about it. They don't quite sound native. Mm.
They're very, very common in spoken English and informal English. So my dictionary says that a phrasal verb is a combination of a verb and a preposition, a verb and an adverb, or a verb with both an adverb and a preposition. Do you agree?
Yeah. Generally, phrasal verbs are seen as verbs with particles, and it could be an adverb or a preposition. Generally, it's if you want to look at the differences between a prepositional verb and a phrasal verb, the difference would be that phrasal verbs use an adverb. And that can be easy enough to identify when it's phrasal and when it's a prepositional verb. How do we identify it?
Marie, how do we identify it?
The position of the object. So if it's a phrasal verb, a true phrasal verb, then the object goes after.
Can you give us an example?
Or before, or both.
So, for example, put on my jacket.
Yeah.
Put on is a phrasal verb.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Vestirse.
But now, turn the object into a pronoun.
It.
Now put it.
It on.
Yes.
So I can say put it on, or I can say put my jacket on.
Yes. But if you have the pronoun has to go between the verb and the adverb.
Right. So you cannot say put
on it.
On it.
Sounds weird.
Does put on, but you can say put on my jacket.
Yes.
It's the pronoun that cannot be.
That's the clue.
After the phrasal verb. Got it.
Okay. What about these verbs where you have prepositions and the pronoun, but the pronoun goes at the end? What would you call them?
For example?
Look after it.
So they're prepositional verbs.
Okay.
But I suppose most people see them all as one big group and they call them phrasal verbs.
Yeah.
It's just that the grammar sometimes can be a little bit tricky. It's where to put the object pronoun. And if we have to put it between the verb and the adverb, then we know it's definitively a phrasal verb, as in defined by dictionary as such.
Right. Got it. And there are often full verbs that you can use in place of more informal phrasal verbs. And we've spoken about that, Reza. For example, if I say to you the word postpone.
Put off.
So postpone would be maybe the more formal verb and put off would be the phrasal verb that means pretty much the same thing. What about enter?
Go into
a room.
Go into.
Mm-hmm. Go into. Exit?
Go out. Or go out of.
Exactly. Go out. Go out is exit. And many Spanish students, many of my students, will say I entered my house at 6 o'clock. Instead of using the phrasal verb, I went in.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to study more of this particular use of phrasal verbs, Reza and I did speak about this in episode 51. So you can go to inglespodcast.com/51. What about multiple meanings?
Nightmare.
For example, take off.
Take off is a classic.
Come on, tell us about take off.
Let's see how many meanings we can get. Okay. So the typical one is the plane took off. So that would be a phrasal verb meaning leave the ground. And it's an intransitive phrasal verb in that context.
What does intransitive mean?
What does that mean, Reza?
Intransitive, no object.
There you go.
Just the subject and verb.
So it's just the plane took off and nothing afterwards.
You can't say take the plane off.
No.
No.
That's one meaning.
And then another one would be something I'm thinking about doing because it's 46 degrees, taking off some clothes. It is 46 degrees centigrade.
I hope you won't be doing that during the podcast, Reza.
Perhaps I will.
Just had lunch, man.
Yeah, well, Marie doesn't know, but in the past we've nearly been given an X certificate for our podcast because we haven't been fully dressed.
The theatre of the mind.
Thank goodness it's just audio and not video.
So the plane took off at 9 o'clock. You could say, el avión despegó a las 9. I took off my clothes and went swimming. Me quité la ropa y fui a nadar. What about this year? Our podcasts have really taken off.
Oh.
Nice one, yeah.
Daniel Wessel's podcast han tenido mucho éxito. To take off, a business takes off, it becomes successful. Another meaning of the same phrasal verb.
Craig, you love Mickey Mouse. Can you take off the accent?
No.
Take off, impersonate?
Impersonate. Speak like. Can I speak like in a similar way to Mickey Mouse? No, I can't.
I'll try to take off Reza. Yeah?
Can
take
you?
Him off.
Yeah. I can't take off. There's only one razor.
Wee Belfast accent, no?
Ah, very good.
You could very probably good. Could.
Oh, I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's good. So with phrasal verbs, there's a literal meaning and there's sometimes an idiomatic meaning. Maybe the idiomatic meaning is more common sometimes than the literal meaning. If I say the phrasal verb pick up, how many different meanings can you think for that phrasal verb, literal and idiomatic?
Like you can pick up on somebody's tone.
Identify? So that would be idiomatic. Because there's no relation to the meaning of pick up in a real sense.
Yeah, there's no, but if you nothing's pick, going up.
But if you pick something up from the floor that's be literal.
More literal. Yeah.
And if you pick somebody up at a bar, is that literal?
You beat me to it. You beat me to it. I was dying to say it.
Ligar. Ligar.
Well, Reza, tell us about the last time you picked someone up.
Well, I picked someone up just yesterday in my car.
In your car?
I collected them at the airport.
So that idea of picking up is give a lift to or take in your car. You can pick someone up at the airport, for example, and drop them off at the hotel. That's idiomatic, to drop off, to drop someone off.
And what if you drop off in class?
You fall asleep.
As many of my students do. Me do.
What about look up?
I look up things in a dictionary. If I don't know the meaning of certain words, I might look them up.
That's idiomatic.
And a more literal meaning is just look, for example, towards the sky. That's a more literal meaning.
Yep.
You're looking up.
Yep. A plane flew over and you looked up. Exactly. Go off.
For food to go bad.
Idiomatic.
Yeah. I kept the milk for too long and it went off.
It went off. It turned bad.
My alarm clock went off too early this morning.
One I learned in Belfast a long time ago, the bomb went off.
Go off. Exploded.
Explosive devices. It's a very Irish one.
So the bomb exploded.
For any kind of mechanical device being set into motion, it goes off.
Right. There are some phrasal verbs with two particles, con dos partículas, and they are called multi-word verbs.
And they cannot be separated.
So, Marie, I understand that you are soon leaving Spain and you are soon going back to your home country, which is Ireland.
Yeah, really sad to be leaving.
How do you feel about it?
Mixed feelings. I'm happy to be going back to family and friends, but also a little bit sad because, you know, 46 degrees, it's something I really love experiencing.
You're not going to find many days of 46 degrees.
It'll never happen.
In Ireland.
No, I'll miss a lot of things about Spain.
But generally speaking, are you looking forward to going back?
Yes, I am looking forward to it a lot. It'll be a nice place to bring up my children, surrounded by friends and family. Yeah, and they'll have lots of cousins to play with and look up to, lots of older cousins. Yeah.
Isn't it Galway? That's where you're going back, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I would rather be in Galway today than Valencia.
Galway's a beautiful part of Ireland.
I'm sure it's cool and windy and cloudy and raining, which we would love right now. Beautiful part of the world.
So I asked Marie if she was looking forward to going back. Now, looking forward to is a multi-word phrasal verb. And you said look up to. Is that the same?
Yeah.
And how would you describe look up to?
Look up to when you admire somebody. Yeah.
To look up to someone.
So students have to be really careful because first they learn look up and they're pleased with themselves because they've learned a phrasal verb. Then they find that there's another verb, which is look up to, and it's completely different. Yeah. From adding another preposition, you completely change the meaning of the verb. And look up to has nothing to do with look up.
Because you can say, I ran out of the classroom, or I ran out of my room, which is literal, but run out of, when it's three words, has a different meaning. Mm-hmm. So if I say, have we run out of cookies?
No, we haven't.
Not yet. Not yet. But we're getting through them at a good rate.
We're getting through them. So to run out of something is when there is no more. Acabar.
Mm-hmm. When you've got through them all. When you've completed them all.
So now that you're leaving, Marie, your job here, is there anyone that you don't get on with?
Yes, the two of you.
So to get on with is to, c'est bien, is to have a good relationship with. For example, I get on with Reza, I get on with Marie, I get on well with my sister. You can also get on badly with someone. Yeah. Is there anyone you get on badly with?
No. Not that I know of.
I can't come up with any names.
Come up with. Which is to think
find
of?
An idea, invent an idea, solution.
Inventar.
Does anyone get on your nerves?
A few.
Yeah.
Again, not naming names.
A few of my students get on my nerves, but mentioning no names. What about go out with? What does that mean, to go out with?
Well, you can go out with a guy for a few months, have a relationship with.
Do you remember the first girl you went out with?
Yes, but I'm sure she's forgotten me, but I do remember her, yes, Stephanie, yeah.
Really? Same name as my sister?
But it wasn't your sister,
I can
assure you.
Yeah. I'd have probably known about it. Marie, do you remember the first guy you went out with?
Yeah, I think we all remember the first guy or girl we went out with, because it was so meaningful when you're a teenager.
So how old were you when you first went out with someone?
Yes, officially, I went out with a guy when I was 14.
Wow.
It was my first boyfriend, yeah. We held hands.
Okay.
Do you know what he's up to now? Do you know what he's doing? Yeah. Do you know what he's up to?
Up to?
Yes, yeah. I think he's nursing.
In Ireland?
In England.
Do you ever think about looking him up?
We're actually friends on Facebook, so I have looked him up in the past, yeah.
Another multi-word verb, to cut down on something. What does that mean, to cut down on?
Well, Craig, I think you would be horrified if the doctor told you to cut down on chocolate.
I would. I've cut down on alcohol, I've cut down on cigarettes, I've cut down on many things, but I'm not ready to cut down on chocolate. Marie, is there anything you're trying to cut down on?
Probably coming into the summer, cut down on carbohydrates. Pastas and breads.
Bread and cakes.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Reza, what about you?
I've cut down on fat, I think, and oil, fatty foods. Mm-hmm. I don't eat quite as much butter as I used to. I used to be really proud of the fact that, like a true Irishman, I ate butter every day of my life.
But have you cut down on butter?
No, I realise, having a look at my stomach, I'd probably better not.
So you're cutting down on butter.
Yeah, and I'm jealous of Marie when she goes back to Galway, all that superb quality Irish butter at your fingertips, because it is the best in the world.
It is the best. I'm proud of it. Mm-hmm. Is the best. I have one more. Put up with. What does put up with mean?
Well, you've put up with me for a long time.
That's true.
Making jokes, yeah. You've tolerated me.
How would you translate that to Spanish?
Tolerar.
Aguantar.
Yeah.
Sufrir. Is there anything you're putting up with at the moment?
Putting up with the heat at the moment. Mm-hmm. Putting up with having to work when my mind is somewhere else.
You're already thinking.
I'm already on the plane flying to. No, not really.
I can understand that. Who was, Marie, who was the worst neighbour you've ever had to put up with? Has it been here in Spain or somewhere else?
No, actually. No, it was in Sicily. I lived in Sicily for a while, and the neighbour in the first place I lived in was Oh, it was really hard to put up with him. He was just this crazy dude. If you think of Cape Fear and you think of Robert De Niro's character in Cape Fear with the tattoos,
yeah,
he was like that. He had those very scary-type tattoos, and he'd stand on the balcony roaring across at our balcony. Myself and my flatmate used to cower inside.
Wow, do you think he was violent?
Don't know, but we didn't want to find out. Find out, discover.
So you don't know what to put his madness down to?
No.
No, you don't know what to attribute it to put it down to? No, yeah. He was just mad.
Yeah, I think he was just an angry soul, yes.
Reza, who's the worst neighbour you've had to put up with?
Oh, my mum's current neighbour, who have always been our neighbours. Don't worry, they won't be listening to this podcast. We've always loathed each other, and we still do.
Uh-huh.
Yep. My mother and her don't speak. The last time they spoke, I think she told me, was 1968.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I was born in 1970. So my mom told me not to speak to them, and I soon realised why. And we don't speak to each other. And they're still there.
They're still there?
Yep. Right, and we still don't speak to them. The only person from my family they ever spoke to was my grandmother. But we realized that they only spoke to her to get information out of her. To get information out of someone is to extract information.
Extraer.
That's why they spoke to her. Yeah. Oh, we hate them.
It's so unusual to speak about hating, for you to speak about hating someone.
Yeah, actually, no, I'm exaggerating. We don't really hate them. We don't get on well. But I wouldn't go out of my way for them. That means I wouldn't make a special effort on their behalf.
Are you going out of your way to use as many phrases as possible?
I am. You've caught on to my little ploy. You've caught on.
I've caught you out. I've recognised it. Do you want to go back over your first introduction and look at some of the phrasal verbs there? Because I'm out of notes.
Okay, well, we mentioned the fact that you put up with all my nonsense. That means tolerate. And I asked you if you were fed up. I'll ask Marie. Marie, are you fed up with anything about Valencia?
Arta. Mm.
Fed up.
Arta, yeah. Mm.
Well, I mean, today, because it's so hot, you think, yeah, I'm fed up with the heat. But really, 2 days in Ireland, and I'll regret saying that. I won't be fed up with that. Maybe fed up. Would it sound awful to say a little bit fed up with paella?
Dun, dun, dun. No.
No, me too.
No, sometimes I get a bit fed up with Spanish food because I do like Spanish food, but it does seem to be a bit bland sometimes, for my taste, a bit... Soso? I've been watching a video recently about curry with Rick Stein. It's a very good series, a current series about curries and all the different flavours and spices and hot combinations of different spices and curries. And sometimes when I taste Spanish rice, I get fed up with it because it's not particularly adventurous and stimulating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you get fed up with the food here?
Yeah, some of it.
Sometimes. It is good, but... It's repetitive.
Yep. I find, for my taste, the same as you, that very often I'd like more herbs or spices than the Spanish put into things. Mm-hmm. Although I couldn't go without... I can't resist. I couldn't go without. That means I couldn't live without something. I couldn't go without Spanish omelette, which I adore.
Me too. What's your favourite omelette?
Spanish omelette.
Just eggs and with onion or without onion?
With onion. Onion and potato. I love that.
I like the ham and cheese omelette. Spanish omelette with ham and cheese is my favourite. Or sometimes tuna. I like things in my omelette.
You can put just about anything in an omelette, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, a friend of mine made a lovely, she's Spanish, she made a lovely spinach omelette. It was fabulous, really, really healthy.
Spinach and feta is lovely. Mm. I make that quite a lot.
So do you think you'll be coming over to visit?
Yes, of course. Good. Yeah. No, definitely Valencia has a place in my heart. Yeah. And you never know, like Reza, I could be back.
Yes. I've been back and forth like a yo-yo.
How long have you been here in total?
6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
That's long enough to try it.
Flown by. It's just gone so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And you're going back with two lovely children?
Yeah. Left Ireland with no children, going back with and two suitcases, going back with two children, and I don't know, I want to count the number of suitcases.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Ryanair are going to do well out of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Anything extra to add before we wrap up?
Finish up? No, I think we've just about covered everything.
Covered it. Marie?
Yeah, I think if we end up here, this is pretty good. Yeah.
There's just one thing I'd like to say before we go is that many students get quite stressed and anxious about phrasal verbs, and I don't think it's necessary to study long lists of phrasal verbs. Don't worry too much about them. There are phrasal verbs that are very, very common, so learn those. Learn them in small groups of maybe six or eight at a time. But don't worry too much. Don't make long lists of phrasal verbs and think you have to learn all of them.
Yeah, I agree. And to not worry too much maybe about the grammar aspect as well, because like most native speakers use phrasal verbs without even knowing that they're using them. So if you hear an expression again and again, like my parents brought me up in a village, just to put those phrasal verbs in context and use them again and again, and it should be easier, because learning long lists, it never
works. I think it's pointless. You won't remember them.
Exactly.
Out of context, phrasal verbs can't be remembered.
Yeah. It might be a good idea to learn phrasal verbs in vocabulary areas. For example, travel, you've got check in, take off, check out, etc. But yeah. So if you would like some help with phrasal verbs and some explanations in Spanish and some exercises, you can find help at mansioningles.com. Go to the intermediate course, and I will put links on our webpage for this podcast at inglespodcast.com/54. If you would like a CD that will help you learn phrasal verbs, a colleague of ours here at the British Council called Mike Harding has a CD called Get Ahead with Phrasal Verbs, and you can find that on mikeharding.com. That's Mike, MikeHarding.com. That's his website, and you can find information about his CD there. If you have a comment or question about this episode and about phrasal verbs in general, just send us an email to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. You can also record your voice and send us a sound file, and we'll be happy to play it on a future podcast and maybe practice some phrasal verbs in your voice message. If you enjoyed this episode, please show us some iTunes love, write a review, give us some stars on iTunes. And if you do that, we get recognized and we become more visible on iTunes. Spread the love.
Craig,
spread the word.
Just one thing before we go.
Yes.
What about a competition? We were thinking about a competition.
Go ahead. What competition would you like to...
A challenge for our more studious listeners, or let's say people who have maybe too much free time on their hands, but they're keen to learn English. You could count up, that's a phrasal verb. Count up means count the total. All the phrasal verbs that we've used in this episode.
Reza, you must be joking.
If you can do it, Craig will, because Craig's very generous and he's much richer than me. He will give you a prize, because I have nothing to give you. Craig, what prize will you give them?
Well, let's make a deal. I will give the prize of a Mansion Inglés CD of the winner's choice.
That's a good prize.
Providing you count the phrasal verbs in this episode so that you know if the answer's correct or not.
I will, happily.
Okay, it's a deal. So Reza will count the phrasal verbs in this episode, and the first person to send me or Reza an email with the correct number of phrasal verbs from this episode will get a free Mansion Inglés CD.
But we don't count repeats. Yeah, just
no repeats. It have to be write a list. Listen again, several times, many times.
Many
in the podcast.
Times.
Write a list of every separate phrasal verb, every different phrasal verb you've heard in this episode, count them and send us an email. Wow. At craig@inglespodcast.com or reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
That's it. That's a challenge. Good luck.
Good luck. And good luck to you in Ireland, Marie.
Thank you.
I'm very sad. Well, I'm very sad that you're going. I'd love to. So until next episode, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Sloan.
What's that?
It's goodbye in Irish.
That's goodbye from Marie. Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.